Welcome to the January 31st sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is from Psalm 91, and the sermon is entitled, The Secret Place, delivered today by Pastor Jeffrey Campbell.
I truly trust that God is going to use this message today to speak to every one of us. But before I get started, I got to tell you a real quick story that my father-in-law told me sitting over dinner this week. He told me that his other son-in-law, and I say other because I know that I'm number one, and it's okay. But another son-in-law came over to share dinner with him. And as he came, he asked my father-in-law a question. Could he bring his Tupperware container for the leftovers? And as he showed up to the house, he had a line marked on his Tupperware container of where he would like it to be filled to. And I think they redrew that line a little bit in discussion and shortened it down a little bit so many can enjoy it. And I tell you that to tell you this. He came expecting not only what would fill him, but there was going to be some left over. And so my prayer this morning and my question to you this morning is, I hope that you came expecting something for church. But I pray, God, that he will give us leftovers for the week. That we can take what he gives us this morning and use it throughout the week to strengthen us from day to day to day. So the question is, did you bring your Tupperware bowl? Did you come expecting this morning? I pray that your answer is yes. Growing up in the big town of Amherst, Virginia, been here all my life, don't really want to go anywhere else to tell you the truth other than to visit. I had a great childhood. Looking back on it, I can say that. Sometimes, and I know that they're here today, but sometimes I thought I had the strictest parents in the world. They're sitting right over there. Notice I'm looking right here, okay? But to me, knowing that, and even today, I consider it a tremendous blessing, even though they were a little bit stricter in some things. I am a beneficiary of that. But growing up on our farm there, just on 29, we had a place that we built in our hay barn. We went in that barn, and in the top of the barn, we built what we know as a loft. We took some boards and went across the top, but to three little boys, it was a fort. It was not a loft. It was a fort. It was a place that we could go to get away from everything. A place that we could go, maybe stir up a little trouble, a little, but it was a very secret place in our minds. After homework or after school, we would go hang out and enjoy this place that was in the barn. Now, this place, it had carpet, and it had this cool door that you could let down, and we could seal it shut so no one could get up there to it. It had doors on either side of the walls, one to open up and a window on the other that would pull in the summer breezes as we slept up there and spent the night in this fort. It had boards that went across those openings so we wouldn't fall out if we slept walk or got up during the night rolling around or whatever. So it offered us a place of protection as well. But in this place, it was very cool. And today I could still take you there because it's still there. It was our secret place. Now that place doesn't hold those fond of memories anymore because it's why. Because I don't go there. It doesn't mean as much to me now because at 33 years old, I don't spend the time needed in that secret place to become special to me. But this was a very cool place. Now, some of you here today have those kind of secret places, but you have different names for them. Maybe you call your secret place a man cave. I get a few nods, a garage, a shed, an outbuilding. Women, I do not know where your secret place is. I've come up with two places that I think I could probably guess. One is the bathtub, and the other is a mall or shopping place. A secret place. A place where all of us need to go to get away from whatever life is throwing at us. Today, maybe you look at this, and I hope we have fun, and I hope we laugh together. But I hope every single one of us understand that a secret place in the eyes of a Christian and in the eyes of God is a very important place. Psalm 91 is where we're going to be at today. But before we go there, you can go on and turn your Bibles there if you want to. But I'm going to ask you to continue to listen. Psalm 91 is thought to be written by Moses, the work of Moses. Don't believe that all your psalms are written by David. Most of them are, but not all of them. But Psalm 91 is particularly penned by the hand of Moses. And I want to take you to the place in Exodus chapter 33. Because Moses can write about a secret place because he's been there. He knows about the secret place, not about a fort, not about a place that we can go ahead. It's not a garage, but it's a secret place of God. Of God. In Exodus 33, I want you to hear these words about a secret place. And a little bit of background, just real quick. Moses is seeking to see the glory of God. He wants to see God. And in Exodus 33, look at verse number 20 if you're there. It says this, "And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live." Verse 21, "And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me." Everyone, look at me. And I want you to say these words, "There is a place." There is a place. But notice where this place is. By God. By me. "And thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock. I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face thou shalt not be seen." Okay? So Moses wants to see God, and God says, that's not going to happen. But what I will do, you come to me, and I'm going to put you in this secret place, in this cave, if you will. And as I go by, I'm going to put my hand over the opening of that cave. Because you can't see me. You can't see the front. You can't see my face. But when I pass by, I'm going to remove my hand from that opening, and you're going to be able to see my back. You'll be able to see my glory. You see, Moses can write Psalm 91 because he's been to that secret place. He knows what that secret place is like. But I want you to take note. If you don't hear anything else I say today, hear this. The secret place is close to God. Don't think you can find a secret place to get away from God. It's not happening. But the secret place is there for you to be close to God. Another godly man that you and I know about through the Bible is David. And I want you to hear these words from Psalm 61. It says this, "From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Verse 3, "For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings." Two very godly men that we see in Scripture know 100% sure there is a secret place that is so close to God. Today, as we look at that secret place, I'm going to direct you back now to Psalm chapter 91. Psalm chapter 91. And we're going to read all 16 verses. Listen as God's word speaks to us. It says this, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, and him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Today we pray that the word of God, the word of God, and in all its truth, will direct us this day. Psalm 91 is a psalm of protection. You may see that as a title at the beginning of the head of your Bible, of that scripture. This psalm is known by many of our military as a psalm that they're given and a psalm that they're pointed to in the times of war as a psalm of protection. Just this week, I mentioned it to a guy as he asked, what are you preaching on? And I told him, and immediately he said, that's the psalm of protection, because he knew it, being a former serviceman. But today, I want you to know, as we look at that secret place, I want you to know in the first two verses, there are four distinct names of God. Now, this is not my sermon. This is for your information. As Moses begins that psalm, those four names that you see, in verse number one, you will see two of them. You see the Most High, which is El Elyon, or the God above all things. And you will see also the word Almighty, which is El Shaddai, means God is all sufficient, everything you ever need. The second verse offers the word Lord. You see that in Jehovah as an unchanging God. And you see the word God in Elohim, the creator God. Now, as I sit down in my place, now listen, when I work on a sermon, I have to have 100% quiet. I go upstairs, I lock myself in a room, and I don't want no kids, no noise, no nothing. And I'm sorry if that makes me a bad dad, but it is. I've got to get close to God. I've got to hear God. And as I read these and I started looking at these four names of God, it occurred to me that, yes, Moses had to know who God was. By describing him with these four names, Moses knew how real God was. Now listen, and I hope that if you're one of these, you don't take offense to this. But the people that refer to God as the big man upstairs or the guy in the sky, it plucks my nerves. Because God is so much more than that. He offers you so much more. But to speak of God as the big guy in the sky is speaking of some God that's way off. Up there somewhere. You're not sure where he is, but you know he's up there somewhere. Wherein I see Moses call the four names of God. He speaks of a God that is so close and available and dependable and always there. How do you see God? Do you see him as El Shaddai and El Elyon? Or do you see him as the big guy in the sky? My God is available for everyone as close as you will let him come. But verse number one speaks to something that I want to make a point of, and you will get 4 points today. It describes the closeness of God. Verse number one says this: He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The shadow of the Almighty. Now, as I think of shadows, there are some very hot days where the only thing I seek is a shadow. In order to find that shadow, you've got to draw close to it, right? You've got to get near that tree. You've got to get near that building. You've got to get near that place in order to fall in its shadow. What about the shadow of the Almighty? What about the secret place that you can go, that you can go and you can get close to God, that the shadow of the Almighty rests on you? Wow. But there are two words here that I want you to see and we cannot skip. And those words are dwell and abide. To dwell means to remain and to stay and possess. It's a sense of staking out a claim to something. You dwell at your address. That's your property. You've staked out a claim to that address. But to abide means that you live and you remain there. That you take up residence. As I read those first two verses again, I want you to listen. He that dwelleth, you see it there, in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Guys, today, the secret place is not a place that you run to when everything absolutely goes wrong. But it's a place that is offered for you to live and to stay. And to stay so close to God. Stay connected with God. That place is built for you so that you can live there. And that you can stay there. And you never have to leave if you don't want to. But God's shadow rests upon the secret place. So today, as we look at this, it's a place of refuge. It's a place of fortress. It's a place of protection. It's all of those things. But it's also about God. It's about the God in which you place your trust. Back to my childhood fort. When we climb up the ladder on this childhood fort, we throw the door down and we had this board. It would fit between two pieces of steel. We would throw that board down over top of the door and it would seal us in there. Now listen, our trust was not that that board would keep the door shut. Our trust was that board would keep everything else out. You see the difference? It's not about keeping the door shut. It's about keeping everything else out. And two young boys at nighttime with all the sounds of the night has to offer, we are so thankful for that board to keep everything out, whatever it was, out. What about the secret place? Today, Christians, will you fall so close to God into this secret place where nothing else can come in? Nothing else of the world has a chance to get in. Point number one today, I want to encourage every one of you here to trust in the secret place that is near to God. Trust into the God of the secret place as well. But in order to trust our God, you have to be near Him. You have to fall in the shadow of the Almighty. Point number one, the secret place is in the shadow of the Almighty. It's near to God. Now, I'm not going to read the next few verses for time's sake. But here's what I'm going to do. The psalmist goes on to say that God will deliver you from the snare that is set to capture birds. From the noisome pestilence that is there to take lives. That His truth is going to be in a shield and a buckler, a shield. What does the shield do? In biblical times, it protects the very vital part of your body. So that shield and what you hid behind, you were not a coward for doing so. You were actually very intelligent because it protected the vital parts of your body. This secure place. This secret place offers you all of that. But in verse number 4, Moses speaks of feathers and wings that will cover and protect. The mother hen effect. Back to my mama now. She's sitting right there with that smile on her face saying, "Oh Lord, what's going to come out now?" My mom was often referred to as being a mother hen to her little boys. She would be the one that would protect them and want to check up on them. And she wanted to just know where we were at all times and just protect it. Now listen, I had the opportunity to growing up on a farm. And I know that many of you were not blessed to do so. And I feel so sorry for you. I got an amen. But to see the mother hen in action is somewhat amazing. As I took my little boys up to my mom's and dad's here in the past little bit, That chicken would back her chicks in a corner. And she would spread those wings out and she would make herself look really big. And as she whisked them under her, make them get under her, she makes herself look puffed up and mean. And as you stick your hand closer and closer and closer, the beak starts to open. And then, here, boy, you better watch out because she's coming after you. The mother hen effect is one that protects even unto death. Even unto death. She's going to give her life for those little ones. And I believe as I look at my Savior, He done the exact same thing for me. He protected me for all eternity because He sent His Son Jesus Christ to die on a cross. My God protected me by His Son Jesus Christ. As I look at this scripture that goes on through verses 3, 4, 5, and 6, I am reminded that we should not be afraid of the terrors by night or the arrows that fly by day. Now listen, I want you to see that as we read those verses, the terrors at night, the arrows by day that come, there's no break in the attack. You can't just say, I'm going to bed and let's forget about it. No, the attacks are still coming. Look at verse number 5. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. Verse 6. Nor for the pestilent that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. At every moment of every day, something is going on here. And I look at that and I said, man, there's no break for the psalmist. There's no break for Moses. So at all times of every day, something's attacking him. But I want you to remember this. As much and as so that everything is attacking him, God is always protecting. There is no quitting on God's protection over you. Though the arrows come at night, your God is there while you sleep, guarding and protecting. I want you to see that. As God protects His people and this secret place, there is security. Night and day, dangers and terrors, there is a secure place that is offered only in Jesus Christ, only in God Almighty. 100% secure. Verse number 7 says, thousands shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh to thee. I don't want you to see this, and I don't want you to be misled. But guys, this does not guarantee that you will never die. But for a Christian, for me, let me rephrase it. I'm not going to speak for you. For me, death has nothing on me. Death has nothing on me. I am not scared of death because I know I'm protected. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to go jump off a bridge and say, my God's going to protect me. Absolutely not. You have to be in His will. You have to be in the ways of God. But if you fall in those wills and you fall in the way of God, then He's going to protect you. As long as His plan for your life sees fit, He will protect you all the days of your life. But verse 7 says, 1,000 and 10,000, you will see them fall, but nothing's going to come close to you. Why? Because God offers security. As I prayed about this verse, I thought of how many people that I know that do not have Jesus as Savior. Now listen, don't look at me as judge because I'm not judging anyone. But there's a lot of people that I know that do not have Jesus as Savior. Is it in the thousands? Is it in the 10,000s that I will see that fall without the security of God? As I think of Moses writing this, I wonder if he was referring to crossing the sea as God parted the sea. And as he looked back, the army chasing him and the waters that enveloped them. Was he speaking of the 10,000 that perished that didn't have God? I don't know. But what God spoke to me on this verse is this. Jeffrey, there are a lot of people that you see. But there are a lot of people around you that do not have Christ. That will fall, that will die without security in Jesus Christ. I don't want to see that happen, guys. I'm not okay with that. I'm not comfortable. I can't say it's okay, turn a blind eye to this. It's my job as a Christian to go to those 1,000, to go to the 10,000 as it may, and tell them of the love of Jesus Christ. I'm not okay with seeing them fall. Are you? Are you? Clifford Baptist Church, are we? Are we okay looking out and say, the world can have what it may. We're all saved. We're okay. The secret place, point number two, offers a place of security in God alone. In Christ alone. In God alone, it offers security. Now, verse number 9. I'm going to move it on, pick it up a little bit here. So hold on tight. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Guys, the Lord has to be made your place to live. You are guarded against evil and plagues that will come your way because you belong to Him and you live in Him. And He will keep you in all your ways. But verses 12 and 13 offer more protection. 11, 12, and 13. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, and the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. God's angels of protection are spoken of here in these verses. Their arms, their hands bear you is what the word says. They carry you. They support you against the littlest of things, like your foot being hit against a stone. Or can we change that to the rocker or the recliner or something that you dash your toe on? But it also offers this against the big things. Up against the lion and the snake that are there to devour you. God's angels are there to protect you from those. Now listen to me. And I don't want to lose you right here. That is this. In both instances, whether you dash your foot against the stone or you trample the lion and the snake, the angels protect what? Your feet. Don't miss that. Your feet. They allow you to trample over the lion and the serpent. They allow your protection over the littlest of stone. Guys, our walk is so important. When we follow God with our walk, you will be protected. You get out on your own, you go your own way, you follow your own choices, that protection is not offered. But with God, He sends His own thousands of angels to protect you from the littlest and from the biggest. And I believe even Satan himself, he will protect you. And if need be, he will allow your foot to trample Satan. But listen to this, guys. These verses right here were used by Satan himself. Matthew chapter 4, verse 6, you can look that up. When Jesus Christ is tempted by Satan, he takes him to the pinnacle, to the temple, and he says, jump off, jump off. Your word says that lest you dash your foot against the stone, you will be protected. Satan uses this scripture. I find that kind of amusing because I believe verse number 13 speaks of Satan himself, that I can trample him under my feet if need be. 14 through 16, I'm going to read these real quick, and then you're going to get involved and we're done. 14 through 16, it twists, it turns a little bit. And it says this, it's from God's point of view. Now instead of Moses talking, it turns. These are the words of God. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer. And I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now listen, I forgot to give you point number three. That was safety of your feet, the safety that the angels of God have to offer. But this leads into point number four. I'm going to ask the guys upstairs, and that's not God, okay? It's the sound people. They've got something I'm going to ask them to put on the screen right now. As you see Psalm 91:14, in that you see two blanks. And here's what you are to do. In those blanks, you are to place your name. Because I'm not adding or taking away from the Bible. I'm taking the word he out, and I want you to put your name there. Because this is the way I read it. Let me read it for you. Because Jeffrey hath set his love upon me. Speaking about God. Because Jeffrey has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because Jeffrey has known my name. Keep it right there. As we wind this sermon down today, I'm going to ask you a question. Can you finish the first sentence of that verse with your name in the blank? Because Jeffrey has set his love upon me. Now, look at me for a second. And this is where it turns kind of serious. There are some people in this room today that can't finish that first sentence. You can't put your name there because you have never put your love and trust and faith in Jesus. So you can't say, I've set my love on you, Lord. You can't say that. Right now, wherever you are, there is literally a blank spot in your life. Forget the sentence. It's a blank space in your life right now because you have never put the name of Christ in your life, in that blank. And so the invitation right now is for you, before I ever finish the sermon, if you have never said, Jesus, I trust you. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I need your salvation. Please forgive me. Your life has an open blank there. And it all can be fixed this morning by filling it in with the name of Christ. Put Christ in that blank spot of your life. And then you can begin to finish the verse. Therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because Jeffrey or your name has known my name. Go to the next verse, please. There's a blank at the beginning. Jeffrey shall call upon me and I will answer him and I will be with him in trouble and I will deliver him and honor him. What a promise. What a promise. Today, that last bit of scripture offers point number four. As we begin to fill in the blanks of our lives, there's a promise in that last verse of answered prayer, of help during troubled times, of deliverance, of life, and of salvation. Point number four, the secret place leads to ultimate salvation. Ultimately, if you stay close to God, you will be shown your salvation. Today, can you put your name in the blank? Or today, is there a blank spot in your life? As we wind it down, Christians today, do you want to be closer to God? Do you want to be so close to God that you can almost see him? I believe this is a place where you and I as Christians are called to live, to stay. Not just to run to when things go wrong. When your life is on the line. When you need a prayer answered, then you run to the place. That's not what the place is built for. The secret place is built for you to live in. It's built for security. It's built for safety. It's built for ultimate salvation. And it's built in the very shadow of Almighty God. Maybe today, this sermon says to you, Pastor Jeffrey, I know I'm saved, but I'm not there. I'm not where I need to be. Listen, today, if you're saved and you're out of the will of God, nothing can take away your salvation. That's my belief. But the safety and security and the shadow of the Almighty God are not available for you because you're not near God. You've left the secure place. Christian, today, if you know where the secure place is and you need to get there, the invitation for you today is to come take care of business. Today, if you sit there in your pew and you say, Pastor Jeffrey, I can relate to the blank spot in my life because I need God. Today, the invitation for you is to come and you grab one of these pastors. You come grab me by the hand. You come grab one of these pastors by the hand. And you say, I need Jesus. The greatest thing that I have ever done. It's not getting married. It's not having kids. The greatest thing that I've ever done is saying yes to Jesus Christ as Savior. Filling in the blank of my life by putting Christ there. Today, the invitation is for you to do the very same thing. Today, however God speaks to you, my invitation is this. This is my personal invitation. You come. You come to that secure place. You come to God and get things right. The invitation on the first chord, the first note that is played, you slip up out of your seat, you come down here and you get it right. You take a pastor by the hand, do what you need to do so that as we walk out here today with the leftovers, that we can tell others about a secret place that they can enjoy. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for this day. Lord, in only the way that I can pray, I pray for my friends. I pray for my family right now. And though I don't know what any one of them is going through, you do. I don't know any one of their hearts right now, Lord. You do. Father, that one that needs security and safety, that needs to rest in your shadow, God, I pray that you bring that one to you today. That Christian that is, we use the word, the church word of backslidden. The one that has left the secure place. God, I pray that you bring that Christian back to you today. For that one with a blank spot in their life. I pray they understand the need of Jesus there. And by coming and by saying, yes, I need you, and by changing their life and following your plan, your will, they can rest in a secure place. Father, thank you today for protection. Thank you today for safety and security that you offer. Father, I pray that we understand the secret place that you have for every single one of us is available today. Bless us now in this moment of invitation. We give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.